Well, good morning. It's about another week, huh? Christmas. What are you looking forward to? And what have you been looking forward to during this season? It can be extremely busy. There's one person who's been trying to meet with me, but this week, last week, busy. Always something going on. Always something someone may call upon. Could be just little emergency. Could be just a gathering of people together. You feel the busyness? And then we talk about our hope, our love, our joy. And this season ought to bring us, instead of frustration, anger maybe, or my pocket is empty, it should bring us joy. And in some, we look at even the social media some of you have, and we see that you are having joy, but it's taking a lot of work. I saw someone had one up and they said they traveled real far to see their grandchildren doing things, even a basketball game, and then drove all the way back, and they did it because of their love for their family. The Christmas season ought to bring us joy, and we're going through again this week, John. And we went through it last week. John, known as John the Baptist. It's interesting because in the Gospel of John, John doesn't really identify himself. So he just simply mentions John. John is known as John the Baptizer. And at a very early time in his conception, he was already dedicated to God as a young infant. His mission was to go to grow, to go out into the wilderness and prepare the way for the Messiah. His message at first was to let those know that they needed to repent from their sin, that each of us has sinned. We learn it at a very early age, don't we? You have little babies and grandchildren. It doesn't take them too long to start to say, when you ask them to do something, you might hear a word called no. And in life, we might even do that to God. We might tell him no. He may have prompted us, and we've said no. At this time, John is telling folks, you've sinned. The way to we'll go ahead and restore your relationship with a holy God is you need to what? Repent. Turn away from the way the world lives and turn to a righteous life in Christ. Is that easy? Anybody working on it? Good to see some hands go up. It's not an easy task. The Lord God, when he comes as Messiah, we see that he does some tremendous things that allows us to live that Christian life. But John was just a messenger. We know that through the prophecy that he was going to come. And that's years and years before he was ever born. The Bible tells us, as we looked last week, he really was an image or a sign of Elijah. He physically wasn't Elijah, but he was that image. Remember we said at the Seder meal, what happens? There is a seat left open. And that seat left open was that Elijah might appear so that we would know that the Messiah was to come. Now we have an extra thing to witness to our Jewish friends, don't we? Do you have a seat that you leave open? Why do you leave it open? I can remember on a trip, once on an airplane, a gentleman was Jewish next to me. And I asked him, what tribe was he from? And most of them don't know the tribe. They've lost that lineage. But it's neat if they come up with one, because then you have a way of, you know, talking about the Lord and the gospel. I thought, well, we went through what John's purpose was. It's interesting because John, in his life, lives for God. And if you know the story, he later tells the king he's living in sin. And what he's doing, he shouldn't be doing. And guess what it was going to cost John? His life. Because the king asked, what would you like out of all the kingdom? And someone asked that it be John the Baptist's head. And in that process, it's interesting that John sent his disciples out to ask, is this really the Messiah? I don't think he really was wondering, is this Messiah? I think he knew. But what he wanted to know is where it's being proclaimed. How was the work going? One thing John had always mentioned was that as Christ came, Christ would increase and he would what? Decrease. My purpose for living as he comes will diminish. And there will be no need for John the Baptist to call out for repentance. For the Messiah will come and offer repentance through the cross. But John wanted to know what was going on. And you see his disciples go out, and he's being told, go back and tell John what? People are being healed. Those who couldn't see, now see. Those who were lame, now can walk. Those who are sick are healed. And so the work of the Messiah was going. I thought it was interesting in Isaiah. The prophecy not only prophesied the forecomer, but it prophesied some things. So you tell me if you think they might have happened. One, now the good news was given out to the poor. Has that happened? Don't know? Okay, some say yes. The good news was proclaimed. Remember, and it's still hard today, in affluent areas, sometimes it's hard to let people know they need a Savior. But even in Jesus' time, the leaders of the Jewish community failed to instruct their congregations their need for repentance, how God loves them, and how that God can be instrumental in their lives. And it's interesting, the gospel was more accepted by those that had need and understood that they couldn't do it. They needed help. And so the good news is, Christ is there, available to us all. We were all poor spiritually, weren't we? Before we knew the Savior. And the joy that we have in our salvation is that he has made it known. And have you been disappointed in your salvation? I hope not. Next, he says he gives freedom to the captives. Has he done that? The answer is yes. all of us, even here today, were captives to sin. Do you recognize that you're a sinner? And you're saved by grace. You choose to accept God's work or not accept His work. It's your choice. But He can free you. If you haven't had that freedom, He can free you today. Whatever that is that holds you back from worshiping and having a close relationship with God, it can be dealt with and you can be free from that sin. Satan would rather you be bound by that sin, that you can't release yourself, becomes a habit, a way of life, or it sucks the joy that we're talking about out of your life because you're battling with the sin. But you can be a conqueror through Jesus today. Freedom. A release from darkness. Darkness of sin. The darkness of death. The Lord Jesus Christ showed victory in death. And that we know if we've lost a loved one and they knew the Lord, absent from the body, present where? With the Lord Jesus Christ. We studied John 17 this week, and one of the verses was a reminder that when someone passes, they are in heaven. And it'll be soon that the Lord Jesus said He prayed that we will be with Him when He prayed to Father God and the work was finished and done. Comfort for those that mourn. Have you ever had sorrow in life? Shed tears? And God can give you that comfort where others may not be able to do so. But He can. It's neat because even in our life, later on in the book of Revelation, it tells us that there will be no more tears. You ready for that day? He will wipe that last tear away. Then He says, provide for those who grieve. Some of you have lost loved ones, had hardships, lost things, life wasn't the way you expected it to be. And it's called grief. And as we've been going through a series, we're finding that God is there. We've looked at different lives. We've looked at Job. Didn't expect the things to happen that would happen. And we find God was there. Job, at the end of Job, he says, not have I just known that there was God, but now, through all the events that have happened, I see there's God. And maybe in your life, you heard about God, knew about God, read about God, but in your life experience, you've now seen God. Praise versus despair. King David, we went through his life, and there was many things that he did and did wrong, but David was known as a man after what? God's own heart. And though he went through things in despair, he knew that God had a purpose for his life and could bring him out of that despair. Rebuilding and restoration. We see that through the nation of Israel, through the history of the Bible. We see it through Jerusalem. And we see it through the believer, that you can be restored. God is not done with you. He can use you and use you today for His glory. All you have to do is be willing for Him to empower you of the Holy Spirit and guide and direct your path. And then He says at the end, there will be delight and rejoicing. Isn't it nice to be around Christians that are on fire and happy to be a Christian? that love the Lord, that maybe when you're not doing so well, you go and see them. They have a smile. They tell you a story how God's working in their life, and it causes you to rejoice. You are that witness to the rest of your family, to your friends and your neighborhood, of how God loves you, but also how God loves them. This is the season to give that good news and spread that joy. It's not the package, it's what you have in your heart. The joy of the Lord to share with others that God loves them, can restore them, can forgive them, and give them a purpose of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that we can have of our salvation. We undeservingly have sinned and turned our back on God. And yet God had made a way through his Son that we might have everlasting life. The joy of knowing that no matter what happens, there is heaven. The joy to know no matter what sin has been committed is forgiven. The joy that we can be used of you as servants of God to proclaim the good news. And in this, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.